1 Corinthians chapter 2. This morning, with God's help, we will be considering verses 9 through 16. Saints, hear now the reading of the word of the Lord, and please give your full attention to the reading of the word of the Lord, for his word is faithful and true. Verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, now to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give to us now, we pray, eyes that see and ears that hear and minds that understand. Lord, please give to us hearts that believe and love. And Lord, we also pray that you would give to us hands and feet that are obedient to your word. Dear God, help us this morning. I decrease that you may increase. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Praise be to the Lord. Saints of God, it will be helpful for you this morning to have your Bibles open in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It will also be helpful for you to have your Bibles marked in John chapter 3, marked in John chapter 3 as well. We begin with verse 9. We begin with verse 9 because it really does set the stage for supporting the point that the apostle is making, and that is related to his main point. Verse 9 is supporting his main point. His main point, God's love has been unveiled through the generosity of his grace, shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ on those who were once dead in darkness, but who are now alive in Christ. The point continues, those who have come to saving faith now share in the divine life of God. Through Christ, they are united to him as one with him. Continuing that point, but life with God is not the only life that is shared. For those who share in Christ, share in the life of Christ, also share with those who likewise share in the life of Christ. We are therefore one in him, and we must live accordingly. Long point, right? Every point that the apostle makes thereafter is supporting that main point. This new life in God has come through the preaching of Christ and him crucified. The cross is a display of the wisdom and power of God, which is contrary to the wisdom and power of the world. Now, back to verse 9, and why we begin there. Oftentimes, verse 9 is misunderstood. I wonder if you've heard it before. Oftentimes, verse 9 is also misquoted out of context as being a reference to heaven. Here it is. That heaven is filled with things, verse 9, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him in heaven is what may be attached to that verse. Eye has not seen what glories are in heaven. And granted, there are many things about heaven that the natural man has not seen, heard, or imagined, but the apostle here in this text is not speaking about heaven. I hope that that's clear. Rather, the apostle is speaking about, watch this, the deep things of God. The apostle is speaking about the deep things of God, those deep things of God which are not discovered by the superiority of the speech of men. Those deep things of God that are not uncovered by the demonstrations of the might of men. The deep things of God that are not unveiled through the cleverness of the clever. The deep things of God are hidden. Hidden things. Which the rulers of this age, that's the ruler of the world, rulers of the world have not understood. Paul says, verse 8, if they had understood it, that is the deep things, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. The deep things of God are that which, verse 9, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, that which is nor entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for them, those who love him. That is, the deep things of God are not known by the natural man. Men are not capable by their nature of apprehending the deep things of God. Not by their own strength. Therefore, because man is not able to apprehend the deep things of God, man cannot boast in himself nor in any other man. This is the supporting point the apostle is making in the second half of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Man is not capable of accessing the deep things of God. Watch this. But the Holy Spirit has access to all things. Watch this, saints. Even the deep things of God. Man is not capable of accessing the deep things of God, but the Holy Spirit is able to access the deep things of God. And he has revealed those things, those deep things of God, to those whom God has loved. The point for our time this morning of worship is simply this, the deep things of God. You're going to hear that word, that phrase over and over again. Saints of God, I think it's important, it's vital for us to ask the question, what exactly are the deep things of God that the Holy Spirit has revealed? What are these deep things? You will remember that last week we noted that the first two chapters are chapters where wisdom is emphasized and also contrasted. Paul contrasts wisdom of the world with true wisdom, which is located most perfectly in God. God's wisdom, by worldly standards, is deemed foolish. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Do you see these contrasting things that God is using? God has chosen weak things and foolish things to shame the wise and so-called strong that save the sinner from the darkness of sin. God does this. 1 Corinthians 1:29. No man may boast before God. This is why. Why has God done this? So that no man boasts before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God has done this. Follow me. The first two chapters are not only chapters of wisdom, watch this, saints, but they are also chapters of things. That may sound strange. First, chapter 1, God has chosen, watch this, foolish, weak, and base things of the world. God has chosen weak and foolish and the base or the low things of the world. Things. Chapter 2, there are things that eye has not seen nor ear has heard. And which things, you could put that in parentheses, have not entered the hearts of men. Verse 10 of chapter 2. Things such as the depths of God, or your Bible may say the deep things of God. Verse 11, for who knows the things of a man? Well, your Bible may not say that, but other translations, the things of a man. Verse 12, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of God. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. Certainly, this is indeed a chapter of wisdom and things. The things that are being referred to are specific things. Well, what kind of things? They are mysterious things that once were hidden, but now, praise be to God, there are things that have been revealed. Follow me. What are the things that are referred to? Most specifically, they are the things of God. What are these things? Let's be clear. Everything that has to do with God is deep. It has to do with God, therefore it must be deep. And everything that has to do with God is deep. One theologian has said, God has no shallows, but God himself is the greatest depth. God has no shallows. That point will be repeated in a few moments. God has no shallows, but God himself is the greatest depth. What are these deep things or these depths of God that Paul is referring to? Look at your Bibles. If you have NASB translated Bible, a NASB Bible, verse 11 speaks twice in your version, the thoughts of a man. You see that? Your Bible may say the thoughts of a man. The word, I'm going to say this slowly, okay? The word thoughts in your Bible should be italicized. You see that there? It's italicized because the translators are seeking to communicate what word best identifies or communicates what the apostle is trying to say. So rather than word, or rather than the word things being there in verse 11, the translators have put the word thoughts there. Why? Well, the word thoughts is what the apostle is aiming for throughout this chapter, watch this, when referencing things. So that when you see the word things, they are actually meant to communicate or to correlate to the idea of thoughts. I can probably hear some of you saying in your head, thought bubbles. So are you saying, and I'm going to say yes, everywhere in this chapter where you see the word things, you could imagine that the word thoughts should be there. Yeah? So all the things that we just mentioned could be properly translated thoughts. Well, now we got to do this. Well, then whose thoughts? Remember, there was a contrast that is taking place from chapter 1 onward. There are divisions in the church there in Corinth. Those who are united to Christ are dividing into factions based upon which servant of Christ they prefer the most. Remember, Paul rebukes their divisions and reminds them that if we are in Christ, these divisions don't exist. For we are one in him, and the body of Christ has not been divided. Remember, he asked, has the body of Christ been divided? The answer is no. But there is a division that does exist, Paul says. There is a division that matters. And then Paul starts to contrast all of these things. He says there is a division that matters between those who are perishing and those who are being saved. There's one contrast. Between those who trust in the wisdom and power of men and those who trust in the wisdom and power of God. Another contrast. The apostle is continuing these contrasts, but now in chapter 2 he's contrasting two different thoughts. I hope that was not too fast, but now two different thoughts. The thoughts of men which are passing of this age, which are passing away and not capable of solving the mystery, the wisdom hidden from men, and the thoughts or deep things of God, which are revealed only by the Holy Spirit to those whom he has loved. Do not forget, there is a context out of which these inspired statements are being made here. Here, now watch, where's the context? Where are these deep things finding their root in? The deep things are the thoughts of God, which are revealed by the Holy Spirit, and appraised. That's a beautiful word. They are appraised when the Holy Spirit reveals. The person whom he reveals it to appraises what has been revealed as being the very wisdom and power of God on display. You know what appraising means. It means to evaluate something. It means to examine something. And when examining, when evaluating, to ascribe to it, as Pastor Isaiah said this morning, to ascribe to it a certain value. What are the deep things of God? What are the thoughts of God that have been put on display and that the Holy Spirit reveals as the wisdom and power of God, and that when man who is illuminated by the Spirit sees and ascribes to what is revealed to them as wisdom and power. Ready for the deep things? Ready? Here it is. Prepare yourselves. What are the deep things of God? Here it goes. The deep things of God, the thoughts of God are declared in this. Watch this. Christ and Him crucified. What are the deep things of God? Very simply, the cross of Jesus Christ is the deep things of God that when illuminated by the Spirit, the man who's been illuminated appraises that message as being the very perfection of wisdom and power of God revealed to man. To the Jews, 1 Corinthians 1:22, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, those who have been loved by God, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. To those whom God has loved, He has revealed to them that this is the very wisdom and power of God on display. Saints of God, the wisdom and power of, I don't know if you thought I was going to say something different. But what are the deep things of God? We were all on the edge of our seat, and then we said, Christ and Him crucified. We all sat back and go, that's it. I thought you were going to bring something that I've never heard before. Saints of God, the perfect wisdom and power of God is revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ, the message of Christ and Him crucified, which the natural man cannot comprehend. They are the deep things of God, which God alone knows and which God alone reveals. But I've heard that message before. I know that the cross of Christ and Him crucified, it can seem somewhat elemental, can it? Not like, that's kindergarten. I thought you were taking me to the university. I thought you were taking me to an Ivy League university today. I thought you were taking me to Cambridge today, to Oxford today. But you took me to kindergarten today. That's where I was raised. You took me there. I thought, isn't that the thing that we accept and move on from? The deep things of God, Christ and crucified, saints of God, is not something that we move on from. It's not kindergarten that we graduate from. Christ and Him crucified, it is the very thing that instructs our daily lives. It's the very thing that motivates us when we rise in the morning. Christ and Him crucified. It's the very deep thing of God that gives us direction on how we live. Christ and Him crucified, the deep things of God, is what gives us life with God, and also, it also is the reason why we are here this morning, because we share life with one another. I said last week, those closest to us are the first, watch this word, beneficiaries, heirs, if you will, of what we now have in this new life. It is because we have received the message of Christ and Him crucified that our lives have been changed, that we are no longer dead, that we have hope for tomorrow, and that changed life and that hope pours out into those who are closest to us. If you are married, first your spouse. If you have children, then to your children. And if you are a member of a church, which you should be, to those you are sharing life with Christ with. They should be seeing your life is different. You are a changed man, woman, boy, or girl. And it affects everything that you do. It affects the way that you live, the way that you talk, the way that you handle tragedy, the way that you handle difficult situations, stressful situations, anger, joy. It affects everything. It's not something that you move on from. It's something that has an ongoing effect on your everyday life until you are joined with the one who you share life with. Because of that life that you're no longer dead. It's because of that life that you have hope for tomorrow. The hymn says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know, the end of it says, because I know He holds the future, life is worth living just because He lives. Amen. The deep things of God are revealed in this. Christ and Him crucified. And it must never become in our minds the shallow things of God. Why? Because there are no shallows in God. The Christ in Him crucified.
is no less deep than all of the other deep things of God. It's not as though when you are sharing life with God, you start at the gospel, which is where you dip your toes and where it's safe to swim, and you go into the depths where there is darkness in the ocean of God's deep things. No, it's once you come in, it's straight depth. Once you are saved, it is straight depth. There are no shallows in God. These first two chapters are chapters of wisdom and chapters of things, of wisdom and thoughts. Thoughts is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God was hidden, but by the generosity of the grace of God, they have been revealed, not by man. Paul is saying he's not the revealer of this wisdom. Apollos, and he will mention him in the next chapter, is not the one who uncovers the thoughts of God. Cephas does not have the power nor spiritual insight to reveal to the hearts of man the hidden things of God. God, the Holy Spirit, is the revealer. Therefore, we boast not in men. Saints, we love the servants of God, but we would not know what, but they would not know, we would not know what we know unless the Holy Spirit gave to us insight to know. We know what we know because God has given us insight to know. Praise the Lord for the first person who preached to you the gospel, but all praise and glory and honor belongs to God. John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. Natural man cannot plumb the depths of God. Man is unable to ascend to the heights of God. Man by nature cannot know the thoughts of God. Only one who is one with God, one who is God, one with God, perfectly united to God, has access to the thoughts of God. Again, we appreciate those who first preach the gospel to us, but the Holy Spirit is the person who opened our eyes. Amen. Not a man. Amen. Praise God for whoever it was preached to you the gospel. But your love for them will wane over time. Your admiration of them will wane over time. You will appreciate them for initially, and then they will just become another man to you. Thanks be to God for that. They should be. It is God who reveals that we love them. We are obedient to the teachings, but God is the one who receives the glory. Verse 10, the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has access to the thoughts of God because he is one with God. There is nothing that the Father knows that the Spirit does not know. There is nothing concealed from the divine persons. We'll get to the second person in a few moments. This is beyond our understanding, so the apostle puts it in human terms. Verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the Spirit which is in him? Let me say to you, there is no one who knows you like yourself. Amen. There is, I just realized how fast I've been talking this whole time. Now that I've stopped, I realize that. There is no one who knows you like you know yourself. Your spouse may come the closest if you're married, but even they do not know your most intimate thoughts. Your mother and father may come close, but even they do not know your most intimate thoughts. Parents know their children. At times it seems as though I can read at least my kids' minds. Last night I got my son pizza, and he tried to finesse me after we got the pizza. He goes, Dad, you know, it's amazing how Dr. Pepper and Crush just go great with a pizza. Boy, are you trying to hustle me? You want a soda? Why don't you just say you want a soda? Can I have a soda? No, you can't have a soda. It's as though, I love that boy. Sometimes it's as though we parents have a window into the souls of our children. We can see and know exactly what they want. But even though we know them that intimately, only they can reveal their most intimate thoughts and most deepest ideas. Sometimes our kids will say something, I didn't even know you were dealing with that. I didn't even know that was in your mind. And yet we think that we know them so well. Watch this. There is something of a similar truth. Not one-to-one, there is something of a similar truth within the divine persons. God has made himself available. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been seen, being understood through what has been made, so that men are without excuse of knowing or knowledge of their Creator. But natural knowledge is not sufficient enough to reveal, watch this, the deep things of God. In spite of all of man's ingenious qualities, he's not smart enough to solve the mystery of the wisdom of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal the deep things of God to men. Verse 11, even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, among many divine, the work of the Holy Spirit among many of his divine things, is to reveal the deep things of God. One of the works of the Holy Spirit among many of his divine works is to reveal the deep things of God. Those things that God is predestined for you to know. And in knowing these deep things, to know great peace, joy, comfort, perfect blessedness. God has sought you out so that he might reveal himself to you, his deep things, and so that in you being illuminated and receiving these things, you might know at the very end of this perfect blessedness. He has drawn you out so that he might reveal to you the deep things that have been hidden from the worldly wise and prudent, but uncovered, watch this, to you. Because he has predestined you to love and grace. There was a man, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, named Nicodemus. You might be very familiar with this story. A man who had observed the Lord Jesus. A man who had listened to the Lord as he taught and seen with his eyes the signs that our Lord displayed. He was so moved by these deep things and was perplexed by them. So much so that he determined to find out where the Lord was and that he would meet with him. But he would do so. He would meet with the Lord under the cover of night so that he would not be under the influence of those who opposed our Lord. John records the most important parts of this discussion in John chapter 3. The first thing that is recorded for us is that this Pharisee, Nicodemus, comes to our Lord and says to him in verse 2 of John chapter 3, Rabbi, we know that you come from God. There were some who were among his group that while there were those who opposed, there were some who would say, this man has to be from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And the Lord immediately reads the heart of Nicodemus. The way that my son tried to finesse me, Nicodemus is coming to the Lord Jesus and he's coming to him, getting around the main idea of why he's there. But the Lord reveals his true motive. He reveals the reason why he is meeting with the Lord and the barrier that is preventing this Pharisee from having what he most desires. The Lord immediately gets to the point. Truly, truly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord reveals what is the burning desire of Nicodemus that has been uncovered by our Lord. What does Nicodemus want the most? It's to be in the kingdom of God. And the Lord sees through his initial response, the Lord sees his heart. To be in the kingdom of God is to enjoy perfect happiness in the presence of God. It is to enjoy perfect blessedness. It is to be at rest with God. But the path that Jesus reveals to rest and happiness, it's perplexing. It's confusing to this Pharisee. The Pharisee, Nicodemus says in verse 4, how can a man be born again when he's old? How is he beginning to reason? According to human reason. This makes no sense. And he reasons naturally. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? The Lord is teaching Nicodemus deep things. But Nicodemus is reasoning according to the wisdom of the world. That the notion of being born again, it's foreign to him because he is reasoning naturally. Nicodemus will not be able to accept the message if not by the Holy Spirit? So the Lord says to him, skipping a few verses, don't be amazed. Don't be surprised that this is the way. Don't be surprised this is the path. You must be born again, he says. Don't be surprised that this is the way. The wind, then he used something natural. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound. You know where it comes from, but you don't know and where it's going. And so it is. Then he uses something spiritual. And so it is with the Spirit. Okay, Nicodemus, you're a natural man. You understand things naturally. So let me give you a natural example to explain a supernatural reality. As the wind blows, and it's not controlled by man, so it is with the Holy Spirit who makes men born again. The question is how to get into the kingdom, how to attain perfect blessedness. The answer is one must be born again. The how is not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, John 1, nor by the will of man, but by God. New life is accomplished not by men's work, but by the work of God. The Spirit, like the wind, goes where he wills. He cannot be moved by the efforts of men. Good deeds don't move the Holy Spirit. Offerings do not move the Holy Spirit. A soulful song will not sway him. Men cannot move the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves men. And Nicodemus, at this point, is out of his depth. This is too deep for me. He has been confronted with the deep things of God, and they are beyond him. He's only allowed one more statement before he exits the scene and says no more. And it is the sentiment of everyone who attempts to unearth the divine mystery of God through human wisdom. Here it is. Here's the sentiment. How can these things be? We have been taught to keep the law of Moses. We have been taught that we are the unique people of God. We have been taught that Abraham is our father. We have received the sign, the mark of our heritage and inheritance. We have, and now you're telling me none of that will be sufficient enough for me to enter into the kingdom. Now you're telling me not good enough. How can these things be? We've been taught just be good people. We've been taught that education will give us the best life. We've been taught that getting a good job will give me the best life. But the deep things of God reveal that the best life is found when you actually lose your life. Amen. For the one who gave his life on the cross. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul comments on this, doesn't he? The natural man does not accept the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit of God, the thoughts of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. It sounds almost like what Nicodemus had in his mind, and he cannot understand them. It's what Nicodemus could not comprehend, because they are spiritually appraised. The Holy Spirit must enlighten your eyes so that you can evaluate, and then after evaluation say, the very wisdom and power of God is on display. The Lord rebukes and then exposes Nicodemus. Are you the teacher of Israel? And you do not understand these things? It's a rebuke, but it's also an exposure. How is it that you don't know these things, the deep things of God? It's because they can't be known by the way that you're reasoning, Nicodemus. The Lord Jesus reveals, Nicodemus, you have weaknesses, you have limitations. His eyes have seen God's word. He's a teacher. If they see them, the natural man can see the words. He's heard others teach it. The natural man can hear these words. There are natural men, some of our children, and some of us also, that are sitting here now, reading and hearing, and yet they will not be able to receive and appraise as the wisdom and power of God unless the Spirit of God enlightens their eyes. He cannot see the wisdom and power of God apart from the Spirit of God. Truly, truly, the Lord says, I say to you, now watch what he does. We speak. He said, watch this word. He says, we speak. I don't know why it's not capitalized there, but it should be. We speak of what, and then again, we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Who is with thee? Notice that the Lord uses this plural in reference to what he has spoken, but he says, we speak. The deep things of God are revealed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Paul says to the church concerning the deep things, for to us, God or the Father revealed them through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And then here, Jesus says in John chapter 3, the Spirit blows where he wills, and he reveals the deep things of God. And then in verse 12, we speak. He says the Spirit blows and goes where he will, and then as I'm speaking to you, we are speaking. Who is he referring to? The revealing, the saving of those whom God has loved is a Trinitarian work. It is a work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We speak, as the Lord says, I only speak what the Father has told me to say. And as he speaks, the Holy Spirit does the work of revealing. We speak. We are unveiling. We are revealing. We are showing you the deep things of God. The work of salvation is a Trinitarian work. Notice this. Jesus says in verse 12, but watch this. He says, verse 11, I told you earthly things and you don't believe. I tried to explain it to you in an earthly way. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? But watch this, verse 12, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things or the deep things of God? Notice that the Lord at verse 12 doesn't stop talking. Do you see your Bible there? It's going to go all the way to, what does it end at? Verse 20 something, right? He doesn't stop talking. Isn't that interesting? The Lord does not say, I'm done with you. You ever have those conversations with someone and they're just not getting you? I'm done. I'm out. This conversation is over. The Lord does not say, this is a waste of my time. But instead he continues to reveal. And not only does he continue to reveal, he continues to reveal one of the most quoted verses that has ever been quoted. A verse that everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The Lord continues to reveal the deep things of God to this man. How does he know? How does he know these deep things? I've already said it, verse 13. He's saying, how do I know these things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. I've already made this point. But he knows the deep things of God because he is one with God. Just as the Spirit of God can reveal the deep things of God, so the Son of God reveals the deep things of God. It is a Trinitarian work. The wisdom that is known by God is known by Father, Son, and Spirit. Let me move quickly onto this. The Lord continues to speak. And what are the deep things, the deep thing that the Lord reveals to Nicodemus? Here it is. Ready? Here it is. Christ and him crucified. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Those who believe in him will not be judged, but those who do not believe in him are already judged. What is he revealing to him? He's revealing to him the gospel that will be proclaimed throughout all the world. Saints of God, he gives Nicodemus the gospel. And when you notice at the end of these sayings, the Lord Jesus, let me look there. Watch this. John chapter 3, at the end of this presentation of the gospel, the Lord says something very interesting that is not disconnected from how this chapter begins. He says, for everyone who does evil hates what? Let me do this. This is the judgment that light has come into the world. And men loved, what's the word? Darkness. Rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, but does not come to the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God. Why this analogy of light? Would you remember how Nicodemus came to our Lord in the cover of darkness? And the Lord uses Nicodemus' approach to him and says, which are you? Are you one who loves darkness? Or do you love the light? Nicodemus, let me tell you something, the Lord would say. You're here because you're escaping the darkness and you're being drawn to the light. The triune God is revealing the generosity of his grace by sharing the deep things of God. Things that man cannot know apart from his Spirit with this Pharisee who thought that he could use the darkness of night to cover what was actually happening to him. He was being drawn into the light. The light that because of his association, he was ashamed of. He could not be among the Pharisees who were actually believing this man is the Christ, but he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself. Imagine Nicodemus belonging to this society, to this religious group, and he's hearing the messages, the teachings of Christ. He's seeing the signs. He knows that his compadres, his associates say, this man is of the devil. He does acts by the power of the devil. But there's something in Nicodemus that says, I just don't think so. This guy's got to be from God. I've got to find out more. And he goes under the cover of darkness, wherever Jesus was, to meet with him. He's being drawn into the light. You know what's interesting? How do we know this? At the end of the second chapter, the beloved apostle records, John, records that our Lord was in Jerusalem at the Passover, and that many believed in him and observed the signs that he had done. But then John makes an interesting statement at the end of chapter 2 in verse 24. He says, but Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them. For he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he knew what was in man. Much has been made about the statement, Jesus not entrusting himself to them. John Gill comments, he did not permit intimacy with him just on the foot of miracles. He did not take them into to be his associates. He did not stay long with them. He did not converse long with them, but the angels will say, he did not commit the whole of his mind and will to them, for he knew what was in man. He did not reveal the deep things, for he knew what was in man. And in the very next chapter, one who we would not expect to come to the Lord, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Our Lord informs us that he's a teacher of Israel. And he comes to the Lord. How do I enter the kingdom? He comes to the Lord because he's being drawn by the Spirit who was blowing over his soul when he was hearing the teachings of our Lord. He comes to the Lord because he's heard the teachings, he's seen the signs, and he's being drawn. And when he comes to the Lord, he's not turned away. All who come to me, I shall never cast out. Our Lord does not retreat from him because he knows all men. And he knows Nicodemus. He knew Nicodemus before he was in his mother's womb. He knew Nicodemus before Nicodemus was trained in rabbinical school. He knew Nicodemus when he was standing in the crowd and our Lord, and hearing our Lord preach. He knew him even before he came to see him in the cover of night. And he knew that he was his. Church history tells us that Nicodemus would eventually be martyred for his faith in Christ. Matter of fact, during the burial, there is one man who owns a tomb, and there is another man who is helping him with the body of Christ. His name is Nicodemus. Our Lord knows all men. He knows those who are his, and he knows those who are not. He knows those who have come to him to be saved.
Yes. Yes.
And he knows the direction, unlike men, of where the Holy Spirit blows. Men cannot guess where the wind will go. But Christ knows where the Holy Spirit will blow.
Amen.
And he knows you.
Amen.
He's always known you. And it's not because of me or any other preacher that you're here. It is first because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes.
Amen.
That he has given you sight to see. That he has given you hearts that love him and desire him. It is because the Holy Spirit that you now know the deep things of God. Christ and him crucified. Saints, this may not be a life application sermon, but I hope that you see the application here. That all glory and honor belongs to God alone, Father, Son, and Spirit.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not words taught in human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Through the Holy Spirit, We have been granted access to the deep things of God. The thoughts of God have been revealed to us, and we've received them freely. And it is those things that we now, those spiritual thoughts, that we have now been given the grace to articulate: Christ and Him crucified. It is those spiritual thoughts that we now say with spiritual words: Christ and Him crucified. What are these words? What is this spiritual message? Very simply, it is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the cross where mercy is provided, pardon for sin. It is the cross where grace of righteousness is offered. It is the cross where peace with God is made available. It is Christ and Him crucified, where joy of a shared life with God, with those whom He has foreloved, can be had. Amen. It is these thoughts of God revealed to us that are now articulated in what I am saying this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you receive it, if you believe it, it is the Holy Spirit who is giving you eyes to see and minds that understand and hear, ears that hear and hearts that swell and go, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. There are no shallows in You. All that is in You is deep. Thank You for granting me access into Your depths. How many of you share the gospel with and they don't receive? How many of you share the gospel with and they don't believe? How many of you share the gospel with and they say, I can't understand this. This makes no sense. Said to you, it's not because of your weaknesses. It's not because of your limitations. The Spirit blows where He wills. The Spirit blows upon the souls of those who are His. We hear these glorious truths and we rejoice in them. We hear these glorious truths and we celebrate them because they have been revealed by His Spirit. Do not take that for granted. Saints of God, do not take for granted that what you hear, you understand. Do not take for granted any longer that what is being said today is the shallow things of God. God has granted you access into His divine thoughts. He has enlightened our once dark souls to see the infinite, priceless value of the message of Christ and Him crucified. To us who are being saved, it's the power and wisdom of God. To the natural man, it's foolishness because they are perishing. But we who have the Spirit evaluate this message and we appraise it as being the infinite wisdom and power of God on display. They are glorious to us. But we say with the psalmist of Psalm 36, Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep.
Yes.
This is possible. We can say amen to what the psalmist says because you have the mind of Christ. The deep things of God have been revealed by His Spirit.
Yes.
You now know the thoughts of God.
Yes.
They're not concealed from you. Because you are now one with Him. Father, Son, and Spirit, you share life with Him.
Yes.
And He has not hidden these things from you.
Amen.
Three persons have one mind, one will, one purpose. And because we are in Christ, we now know His divine thoughts. God has made this known to us.
Yes.
When your little ones are speaking divine things and seeming to comprehend them, rejoice. God's Spirit is working in them.
Amen.
When your older ones, when your nieces, when your nephews, when your cousins, when your friends are starting to express understanding about deep things, rejoice. The Spirit is blowing over their souls.
Amen.
Spirit has revealed the deep things. Praise be to God, Father, Son, and Spirit,
Amen.
Who has willed to bring us into fellowship with Him, and who has revealed the deep things of God that were once hidden, now unveiled to those whom He has loved. And this pours out now into our lives. Those who say they walk with Him, yet walk in darkness, lie, and the truth is not in them.
Amen.
But if you walk in the light as He is in the light,
yes.
you show that you share fellowship life with Him.
Yes.
I made the mistake a few weeks ago. I said 1 John 5, 7, and 8. It's actually 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. God has revealed this to you. Praise be to Him who has not left you in the darkness. but is like Nicodemus, drawn you out of it.
Yes.
Near to him.
Yes.
In the light.
Yes.
Let us pray.